bright sunny day outside. There's no white stuff on the ground. It's good. In Florida, it's like this all year round. Yeah. That's just a hint. Okay. This morning's lesson is why you should be a Christian. This morning I was going over my lesson, and I started flipping through the channels a little bit. I like to listen to different things about what the denominations are saying, and it's amazing as you how many there really are. And I couldn't tell you exactly how many there are over. I thought the last number I heard was over 2,000 different denominations. So there's a lot of ways that people are, I can't say that they're using the Bible, but at least they're using that maybe as a reference. But they say they're using it as reference. But if there's 2,000 organizations that say they're following God, or at least that's the impression that they're following God, you know, is that possible? And if all of them are being, if they say they're a Christian, why do you say they're a Christian? How, what do they base their religion on? And I said, well, why you should be a Christian? And, well, Christian, the word Christ is in the word Christian. They were first called Christians in Antioch. So Christ must be in there somewhere, right? But all these different shows, I kept looking for them, and they all had all these very good orators, okay, people who could speak real well, of which, well, you've heard me speak before, so you'll have to deal with the way I speak. A little bit of a drawl, too. But they very rarely used maybe one or two verses during the course of their speech. And that's basically what they turn out to be, is a love me, I feel good, it's all good for you, everybody's happy, everything's right with the world kind of speech. Majority of those that I saw, that's what they were preaching. And that's what they, if you could say they were preaching, that was their the message that they were getting across, that everything is okay. But if you look around the world, maybe everything isn't okay. People are getting hurt every day. Soldiers are dying overseas. People get robbed every day. People are in car accidents. So there's definitely bad things that happen to people everywhere you go. In everyday lives, people get hurt. Kids fall down, they break their legs or arms, or, you know, fall out of a swing set or whatever the case may be. So bad things do happen. So what do we? How do we base it on? Or what do we base being a Christian? And why should we be a Christian? So many cannot give scriptural reasons for what they are religiously. All right, we can give you sensibly. We can give you many sensible and scriptural reasons why you should be a Christian, and we'll cover five different reasons of why we say we should be a Christian. All right. Well, one is because sinners are unfit to meet God. To be in the presence of God, we can't be a sinner and be in God's with God, commune with God. Sin separates man from God. All right, we're going to be covering a couple of different verses, so you have to. We're going to turn over to Isaiah first. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear you. And also, turn to the first chapter, verse 15. Isaiah 1, verse 15. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are covered with blood. So, essentially, if we are sinners, our hands are covered with blood, we are wrought with iniquity, then we separate ourselves from God. And God even acknowledges that fact in the Old Testament that he does. So you're either a sinner or a Christian. There's no middle ground. You're one or the other. Christ was free of sin, whereas everyone else is a sinner. So you should prepare to meet God. Turn over to Hebrews 9 and verse 27. Hebrews 9:27. And inasmuch as it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes judgment. So there's a judgment. There's an end state. Or let me get into the military phrases. There is a. I'm not going to do a mission statement. But there's a goal that we all must meet, and there's an inevitability. There's a point in our lives, at the end of our spiritual lives, that we're going to have to count for what we've done. And we have to decide on what our state's going to be when we are before, before the man, before God. We've got to have accountability for what we've done. And we should prepare for that also. Also in chapter Hebrews 10:31. Like, turn your page. And it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Okay? In that God will judge us. And if you are judged unrighteously, then you will spend your eternity in hell. We're all responsible persons. And we become guilty by making choices in our lives. God doesn't make you guilty of sin. We make conscious decisions and choices in our lives to do these things that are not in accordance with His will, and we sin. Because all have sinned and come short, of Christ. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And then 5:12, Romans 5:12. Romans 5, verse 12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all have sinned. So we have all sinned, and the wages of sin is death. At Romans 6:23. I'd basically turn the page again. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So if you're a sinner, you're going to die, and die is in eternal death as well. And it's an awful condition to be in a state of being lost. Turn over to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verses 11 and 12. Therefore remember that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcised by the so-called circumcised, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. And this relates to how that, almost like in the study with Gary earlier, is that people were trying to bind things that were under the old law to what God had come up with His new plan with Christ, that they would not have these traditions, these different things that they were held to in a mortal body standpoint, eating different foods and things like this. God didn't require that of them as being a Christian. And to be following God, they didn't have to do those different things. All right. No sin can enter into heaven. Turn over to Revelation 21. It's the last chapter, or last book. Revelation 21, 27. And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So basically, this is, and you understand that Revelation is a lot of, figurative language. It's all written in descriptive words. But basically, if you're doing wrong, you can't be within God's presence. Our God provides a salvation for us. So even if we're sinners, there's a way that we can actually be saved. So God knew we were lost, and yet He loved us, and He gave us who? He gave us His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. Turn back over to Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. Ephesians 2, verses 4 and 5. But God, being rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, meaning our sin, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Through God's grace, He gave His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us so we might be free of sin. God sent His Son to save us. Turn over to John 3:16. If I should pretty much know that one by heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whomever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. Not have a happy time on earth, but have eternal life. So there is something that you have to distinguish between what is in present and then looking at your long-term goals and looking at, in a spiritual context, that you want to be in a better place, and that would be heaven. Jesus is our atoning blood, and is it necessary? Turn over to Hebrews 9 and verse 22. Hebrews 9 and verse 22. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. So the sacrifice of which was given us was Jesus. Jesus was our sacrifice. He was the blood that's wiping away our sin. So Christ's blood has done that. And Christ's blood was given, and it can cleanse. Turn over to 1 John 1. 1 John 1:17. 1 on there. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus His Son cleanses us from all sin. So the only way we can become a Christian, the only way we can have our sins taken away, is to have Jesus take them away. Okay? Jesus is our sacrifice. He is the atonement for us, His blood. Christ purchased the church with His blood. Over in Acts 20:28.
Acts 20 and verse 28. Be on guard for yourselves, for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. So we are members of a church of which He has purchased with His own blood. God also offers us salvation now. We don't have to wait for it. The gospel is universal in its application to all people around the world. It doesn't make any difference who you are or what station in life you are. Everybody can be saved, and it's given to everyone. You just have to listen and have your heart open so that you can actually accept what God says. The great invitation over Matthew 11:28 that we have. Matthew 11, starting in verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. So take your cares and your problems and give them over to God. Give those iniquities to Him and He will cleanse you of them. Now is the accepted time. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 6:2. 2 Corinthians 6:2. Because now is the accepted time. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of, today is the day of salvation. So now is the time. Do not delay to be obedient. Hell will be full of people who don't intend to go there. So they will have many people there that they were of the mind before they died, perhaps, that before the day of judgment, are just disregarded the belief that there will be a reckoning or an accountability for what we do, that hell will no doubt be full of people with that frame of mind, or at least they would have had that frame of mind prior to them actually getting there. So, just like other things in life, you don't believe that. So, procrastination is a thief of our souls. The longer we wait, the longer we procrastinate or prevent ourselves from actually accepting God and doing what God wants us to do, then the worse off we're going to be. Because you have no idea. I have no idea. We don't have tomorrow promised to us. So now is the time. Now is the time when we should stop procrastinating. All right? Life is uncertain. As I had said earlier, life is uncertain, but hell is certain. We know that there is a hell, and heaven is certain. So we have two certainties, and then we have life, of which is uncertain. So we have no idea what's going to happen to us before we leave here, or if an asteroid might strike this building, today. Could be a small one, okay? Small asteroid, I'm not going to get into that. Okay, anyway. A couple hundred thousand miles an hour hits the ground. Okay, everybody's gone. All right. Okay. Life is uncertain, okay, here today, gone tomorrow. And that's a philosophy that a lot of people take on. It's like live for today because tomorrow, we make merry today because tomorrow we die. Okay, and that's a famous, I guess you say, saying, live for the day, live for the moments, not really, it's used in many advertisements, or at least that theme is, that go ahead and take advantage of today because tomorrow you may not be around. You may not be able to wake up in the morning, whatever, from your hangover or whatever the case may be. Okay. But live for now. Life is a vapor. If you look over in James 4, verses 13 through 15. James 4, verse 13 through 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we shall go to such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you are to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. So, a vapor, and if you see a cloud or something like that, it's only there for a little while and then it's gone. You can't really contain it. All flesh as grass, and as is flower, in 1 Peter 1:24. Life is a shadow. You turn on a light, the shadow's gone, right? Or maybe the shadow is longer. In the daylight. But a life is a shadow. Turn it over to the book of Job 14:2 in the Old Testament. And this is speaking of man. Like a flower, he comes forth and withers. He also flees like a shadow and turns not and does not remain. So a flower, you see it, it grows, it withers away and dies. It's gone. Okay. So much is like our lives. I'm a little bit older now than what I once was. So now I can see that when my children now are actually out of high school, that time actually, when they were, I can still remember when they were, 1 or 2 years old. I can remember that as if it were yesterday, So now here they are, 19 years old, and the other one's 17 years old, soon to be 18 years old. So the years go by quickly. They really do. And they go by faster. Unless you're a high school student, then they drag on. Okay. But a step between us and death, okay, it's just very small. We have no idea when that's going to happen. We have certain punishment which awaits the person who rejects Christ. Judgment is certain. From Hebrews 9:27, we read a picture of judgment, the judgment scene. Turn over to Matthew 25, verse 31. Matthew 25. If you were to listen to and heed the people that talk on TV, there's going to be a Dixie band, and everything's just going to be fantastic. Everybody's going to be happy. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Verse 31. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate them from one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from his goats. And He will put the sheep on His right hand, and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave Me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came to Me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on his left, depart from me, accursed ones, enter the eternal fire which has been prepared for you, for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you? Then will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do these to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into the eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It doesn't sound like all the bands are going to be playing and everybody's going to be on the same side, does it? If we're going to be separated, that means that whether you're picking for a softball team or a basketball team, if you're on this side, you're on this team. If you're on this side, you're on the other team. Well, there's definitely a distinction between the two. So if you're on one side, you're definitely not on the other side. So if you're going to eternal damnation, then that's not the side you want to be on. So what are the disobedient? What's going to happen to them? Turn over to 2 Thessalonians 1. 2 Thessalonians 1. Second Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9. And to give relief to you who are afflicted, and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. And these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. It seems pretty plain there, doesn't it? A certain fearful expectation of what the judgment will be. We should be fearful of what that judgment will be of us. So we should be consciously thinking in our daily lives as to How are we a Christian? Does it say in the Bible we should be a Christian? Does it tell us how we should be a Christian? If we're to be Christ-like, what is the example that we have? You have to go to the Bible to determine all of that. Where do we get the information? If you want to know what the state law for New York is for drinking, you go to the state law for New York. You wouldn't go to Pennsylvania's law. You'd go to New York's law. Okay, the same thing with God's law. In order to find out where we need to find out God's law, we go to his word, and that's where we should be going. So to be a Christian, this is our law, this is our example, this is what we have to go by. There are other reasons why people should not be a Christian in their mind, because they do what they want to do. They feel like it's almost like if you're taking a long trip. If you use you use a standard map to get from point A to point B, you could probably get there relatively quick. But if you use Bob's map or somebody else's map I don't like that way and I didn't draw that road on there because I don't like that road, then you might have a difficult time in getting from point A to point B because you're using somebody else's, you're using some other a man's idea of how to get from point A to point B. And being a Christian, in a lot of ways, is the same way. if you're going to use man's idea, if you're going to be on the softball team and become a Christian and serve God on the softball team or basketball team, that might not be the way God says He wants you to do it. Or if that's what your denomination says in order to have a good bus program to picking people up, but yet when you get there, you don't talk about God. You talk about something else. So now is the time, now is the opportunity we have to give to everyone. If you feel like you are not right with God, that you need to get right with God, then now will be the time to confess your sins and to be baptized. If there is anyone who would like to do that at this time, we open the opportunity for you to do that at this time as we stand and sing this song. Okay. Thank you.